All right. How's everybody doing this morning? I mean, I'm just so impressed that like 2 minutes before the service starts, you guys are quiet and in your seats. I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of church. So let's stand, and why don't you guys greet each other with the love of the Lord? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, God, that you love us. We thank you that we've been washed by your blood. Lord, that you've bought us with a price. And that here, Lord, we stand today unashamed, Lord, with joy in our hearts, looking to our Savior and looking to our God with no guilt or shame. So we thank you for that, Lord. We just pray that in response to who you are, Lord, that our hearts will be poured out before you, God. Lord, may we cry out how great you are, how good you are towards us and your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Water you turn into wine.
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you, yeah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you're higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. God is for us. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, what could sin against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, what could sin against? Power, I greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any honor. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God.
And if our God is for us.
And if our God is for us. Then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us. What can stand against? God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. You are the first, you go before, you are the last, Lord, you're the encore, your name and life for all to see, the starry host declares your glory.
Sing that first verse again.
You are the first, you go before, you are the last, Lord, you're the encore, your name and light for all to see, the starry host declares your glory. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest.
Apart from you, there is no God.
Glory to you, Lord. Glory.
God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you've chosen us before the foundations of the earth, Lord. God, to give us an inheritance and to give us a hope and an inheritance that is far greater than our comprehension. God, I just pray that right now, Lord, as we sing to you, Lord, that you open up our hearts to your glory. God, you are a God who deserves our worship. And Lord, we don't even deserve to worship you. And yet you invite us to worship you, Lord, to enjoy you. And so I pray, Lord, that right now, if any of us, Lord, are just struggling. God, if there's any of us, Lord, who just struggle with even singing to you, Lord, I just pray, God, that we will, that you just expose your glory to us. Because God, truly you deserve to be worshipped. And Lord, the only thing that blocks our worship is us sometimes, Lord. And so I just pray, God, that you be glorified today, and this morning, in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, all the thieves will come confess, but know that you are holy, and know that you are holy. Sing that first verse again, all the poor and powerless. And all the poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, all the thieves will come confess, and know that you are whole. Our voices all will sing out hallelujah.
And all will sing out hallelujah. We will cry out hallelujah, God. You are content. All who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, will know that you are holy. Shout it,
go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Let's lift our voices up and scream out who He is. Lord, we thank You and we praise You this morning. Lord, that as we stop singing now and prepare for Your message, Lord, we know that worship doesn't stop. Lord, worship is a life, God, and we just pray that our hearts will continue to be bowed down before You. Lord, as we hear Your word, God, may we give reverence to it, Lord, but ultimately may we give reverence to You. And I pray, Lord, that You use Pastor Rich this morning. Lord, bless him as he preaches, and I pray, Lord, that Your words will be His words, minister to His heart and minister to our hearts and renew our minds toward You and Your kingdom. We love You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. And this looks, so I'm from North Carolina, so this looks like an East Coast church because if it gets like just a dusting, we stay home. So this almost looks like an East Coast church, but I'm still glad to see you guys here this morning. We rejoice that you made it here okay this morning. I know I talked to a few people already, and they talked about people hitting curves and running off the side of the road, and somebody told me this morning somebody did a 360 in front of them coming in, so I don't think they were doing acrobatic work. They were trying to turn into a driveway. So it's just nice that you guys made it in here okay today, and it's good to see you, and hopefully more people will roll in later on. The first thing is, did I drop it? Okay. So I know most cars nowadays, the lights turn off on their own, but there's a RAV4 out in the parking lot, 633-UNI. Got it already? Okay, good. So we just wanted to make sure the last thing, we didn't want you to be the last one here, and then we all drive off, and you can't start your car. So just a few announcements real quickly. The youth ministry, In particular, we're talking about here 6th through 12 graders here. We have something downstairs for those who are lower in grades, but we don't have a lot for these folks, but we're starting something up now, which is awesome. It'll be the second and fourth Sunday of the month at 5 p.m., and that will be here at the church, okay? But they are having something a little bit special for their first one here. They're going to have a pizza meet and greet on Sunday, January 28th at 5 p.m., and if you could, back in the back, there's a sign-up sheet for guys to sign up, guys and gals to sign up for, so that we can get a good head count. Because, you know, if you're a teenager and it's pizza, somebody's going to go out of business, right? Because if you give teenagers pizza, it's going to be all gone. So we also have life group. We like to have life groups, plural, going on. But right now we do only have the one, but you are cordially invited to that starting on February the 8th. It's going to be at Marshall and Rachel Moore's house. They are down just 15 minutes north of the church here at 13255 Palomino Drive, and you can get one of these to figure out where that's at. But it'll be starting February the 8th, and I'd love to join them at 7:30 to 9 o'clock for their life group. Again, if you would please sign up for that at the table in the back, please, so we can know who's coming. We also have a Women of Calvary Bible study that's getting ready to start up. That also will be here at the church. It's going to be The Armor of God by Priscilla Schreier. So please sign up for that as well. But this time, it's not in the back. We need you to do that online, please. So that can be kind of taxing and stuff like that. So if you have any questions, you have a little bit of time, right? So if you have any problems with that, please contact myself or somebody in the church that can help you out on the website. But please go on the website to sign up for that. And if you also notice that there's a little bit of a charge, $15, mostly for books and stuff like that. So please, that's going to be our first women's thing that we're going to have going on here at the church. So we would love to see a huge turnout for that. So please, if you can, attend that. And then Men of Calvary. We have a men's prayer breakfast the second and fourth Saturday of the month. It's going to be from 7:30 to 9:30. And we actually are going to have one of our guys from the main campus that's going to be coming out making food for us. So you don't have to – well, actually, Pastor did a really good job with the pancakes and every time last time, but I may be doing it sometime, so you might want to come for this one just to get some good food. So please come out and join us. We had a big crowd last time, too, so it was really great to have the guys come out, and local guys and guys from, you know, the main campus and stuff like that. So we cherish you guys whenever you come out, whether it's men's, whether it's women. We just really want to see you come out here to church for some of these groups. And then lastly, Rocky Mountain Calvary contact info. The pastor is here during the week a little bit, but he's not here all the time. So if you'll notice in our handout for our church here at the Ellicott campus, there is a phone number on there that you can call Monday and Wednesday, not Monday through Wednesday, Monday and Wednesday, okay, from 9 to 5, that the pastor will be here for that. And then if something else happens outside of that time, please make sure that you call the central campus at that phone number that's listed there. Of course, we know that the main campus is open all during the week, 9 to 5, unless they call it off. And then if it's anything that's after hour, an emergency or something like that, please contact the main campus, right? Not the Ellicott campus, but contact the main campus if you have any type of emergency need that happens after hours. We normally have a pastor on call to field those if something like that happens, okay? Now, that's all the announcements that I have for Ellicott, but please, by all means, don't think that just because you're going to Ellicott that you can't go to main campus things that are going on. So please look at the bulletin that has the rest of what's going on at the main campus and know that you're always free and you're always welcome to come and do stuff there as well if you'd like, okay? All right, Pastor.
I would like everybody not to be in the first three pews. So if you'll move back a little bit, I'd greatly appreciate that. And we're going to have a family chat this morning. You know I like to walk the aisle and preach, and like that. But this passage of Scripture, and because our numbers are a little bit lower this particular week, I thought it would be nice just to have family chat time because it's about prayer. And it is about powerful prayer and how it works. So, sit back, relax. I'm going to. And let's enjoy God's word together. Now, I hope this doesn't cause anybody great offense. I really do. I just sometimes like to do something that's a little more community style. We are celebrating communion this morning. And to be able to do it family style is a good thing. I thought about in the beginning asking the folks in the back row to fill in extra spaces as well, but then you'd be a little packed in places. But anyways, as I pray, I would like you to think about the most powerful thing you have ever experienced or seen, a thing, not a religious or a spiritual experience, thing that you have ever seen in your life. I'll give you for instance. Maybe you went down to one of the capes and saw a rocket take off, you know, for the space centers. You know, that would be quite a powerful thing to watch. I never had the joy of doing that, but just to give you an idea, all right? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the family of God. Lord, we have looked at how you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in high places and heavenly places in the heavenlies. And Paul, through the power of your spirit and the inspiration of your spirit, builds on that, because today we're going to look at how to connect to that. And the reality that we each need it. So, Father, I pray you'd bless our time. Lord, that our hearts would be wide open to your word, to your spirit, and that you'd bring forth much fruit in our hearts and lives for your glory and your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, share with me. Share with me something that has been the most powerful thing you have ever seen. David? All right, in a boat by Niagara Falls, been there, done that quite a few times, matter of fact, being from the Northeast. It is wow. Yes, it is. And all the different rainbows that crop up because of the mist that is there. Did you know that in May 1951, that all of Buffalo and everybody was shocked because the roar of Niagara Falls stopped? Ah, you didn't know that. And they were fearful what has happened, because it is a very wide river that flows into it, and a blockage had happened, and they had also decided to reroute so that they could clean some of the rocks out at the bottom that naturally break off over time, so that it could be safer for the tourist boats that go in. Back in the day, it was only the Maiden of the Mist, and now I think they have three that go regularly, and they have to time them just right so that they can go around, so because they have so many tourists there. Back east, anyways, that's the honeymoon capital of the world for them back there. I tried to get my wife to go, but our anniversary is in January. We just celebrated it. And I wanted to be in about the 20th story, so that because when the ice forms, they show lights on it and it's magnificent that way. And I haven't talked her into that yet, but maybe someday. Maybe for our 50th. Yeah. Yeah. But something else. Powerful. Yeah, Rich?
Rode on a train with my family, and to see the locomotive pull all of these train cars
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, I've been there, done that too. Good train rides in England area and things like that. And often I would go from place to place and train. I hated riding backwards, personally. I like to see the landscapes coming at me rather than away from me. But anyways, a couple more. Yes, sir.
The birth of my children.
Ah, isn't that a powerful, powerful, yeah. Yeah, Diane had an old school doctor in his 70s, and he had his main nurse says, you've got to start letting guys come in because you're losing out, and a lot of folks are moving on to somebody else because you don't allow us in. And he finally let me in so I could watch the birth of one of our babies and two of our four, which was so cool. Yeah, yeah. I almost got kicked out because of my mouth, though. Yeah. Should I tell you the story?
No.
Diane says, no. I'm going to tell you anyways. Okay. Diane's a dairy farmer's daughter, you know, a big dairy farm. And so we're waiting, and we're waiting. The baby had crowned and everything else, and we're waiting for the next push. And this, I think he was 75 at the time, doctor said something about this is going to take forever. And so I just simply asked, do you need a piece of baling twine to pull? He didn't like that comment. So anyways, almost got kicked out. Do you want to stay in here? Yes, sir. So another powerful thing. There was another hand back. Yes, Glenda. Yeah, I have seen the after devastation of tornadoes and things like that firsthand, but I have not actually seen a tornado, but I imagine that would be something very powerful.
Last week?
65. It seemed like last week. Yeah. All right. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, because we're going to look at the most intense power that God calls you and I into, that you and I should be able to experience regularly, consistently in His presence. This is a dynamic prayer, a wonderful prayer that Paul actually prays for the folks in Ephesus. Now, in you and I, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you and I have the joy of eavesdropping, if you will, but also of being instructed of what real prayer is. And I believe that as we look at this, and this is just, again, my personal opinion, that this kind of prayer is a missing jewel in the body of Christ today. That probably 90% of our prayer time is spent on physical issues and issues of relationship within the body of Christ or within the world. And very little time is spent by any of us, and I point the finger at myself, praying about our own spiritual walk with God. And God yearns for that spiritual walk with each and every single one of us individually. Notice how this great passage starts in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. A heart of thanksgiving for the body of Christ. He has not met these people yet. He has heard about them. He knew the church got started. Epaphras is there, and he has shared with him this truth. Epaphras to bring the truth to him about what was happening in Ephesus has almost brought himself to death. He was physically ill, and yet he remained true, Epaphras did, to bring this message to this apostle, Paul, the missionary apostle, if you would, of sharing everything that was going on. And I already shared with you, if you were here the first week, the fact that this was a core center of worldly carnality. There were so many churches there, quote unquote, cults that were given over to lascivious lifestyle. They really did epitomize the Gentile culture of their time and everything that they got swept up in away from Judaism. It was also a great educational center. They had a beautiful library as well. You know, it was one of those crossroads of trade that brought multicultural, multi-thought of how life should be lived. In our day and age, kind of think of the large cities like San Francisco or New York City and the melting pots that they have, but yet everything that is brought in of the carnal world that is there, that is worshipped. And this is that kind of city. We also know that shortly, within 40 years after the writing of this, they are getting chastised because they left their what? First love. Ah. Their passion and connection with God had diminished. A heart of thanksgiving. Thankful for other saints. How many of us rejoice when we hear of somebody coming to a saving knowledge of Christ? I'm sure we all do. But do we continue to pray for them and rejoice with thanksgiving with them about that, wanting to be a part and to envision their spiritual growth? Honest thanksgiving. Developing and growing a clearer identity in Christ. True thanksgiving. Thankful for the family of God. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Thankful for the body of Christ. Truly thankful. Hebrews 13. Notice what the author of Hebrews declares. And I'm going to start in verse 12 of Hebrews 13. Now, it starts out with that first verse, let brotherly love continue. All right? And then when you get to verse 12, he says this in chapter 13. Notice what it says. So speak and do so to... two pages stuck together. Right, excuse me. It says, therefore, let us go forth to him, to Christ, outside the camp, bearing his reproach, because he sanctified the people with his own blood, suffering outside the gate. We know that's where he was placed on the cross. It was outside the gates of Jerusalem. And verse 13 says, let us go forth outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come, the new Jerusalem. Therefore, by him, Christ, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. You know, lips of praise, singing. Even the times where I have laryngitis, I lip sync because I want my lips of praise in singing to glorify God. I want the things that are being sung to be a part of my heart worship to draw me into and before the altar of God every time we go to worship, whether it's to hear Eric or whether it's to present the word of God or to hear somebody else. Wanting that heart of thankfulness, wanting to be continually before him in a spirit of thanksgiving. Thankfulness. Here it's thankful for the body of Christ. Always making mention of you in my prayers. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. Think about this. Sometimes I think Paul's prayer list had to be about that long. You know? It had to be huge, the individuals as well as the churches and the bodies and the small groups that he prayed for. So I'm just going to ask you to examine your heart just for a moment and say, gee, how thankful am I for the salvation that I have through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The fact that he would allow me to enter into this relationship through his son. Wow. And what does it do to our hearts when we develop thankful spirits? Thankful hearts. I'm going to ask you to ponder that, and then I'm going to ask you to answer that today. Here, just like the most powerful thing you've ever seen. What does it do when your heart, my heart, is overwhelmed with thanksgiving and we consistently do that? Someone share with me what they think. What does it do to the heart? Patrick?
Makes me want to serve him.
All right, makes me want to serve him.
Humbles
me, yeah. Both and, yeah. If you and I get before the throne and we are on our face with thanksgiving about this relationship that we don't deserve and the fact that he has blessed us so many wonderful ways, and we have the joy of walking by faith, it ought to bring humility and wanting to serve him and do things for his glory. One more thing that comes to your heart.
I think it draws other people to him.
Ah, I really believe the countenance of somebody who is really thankful just blossoms. I think they're, because they are consistently in the presence of the Lord and they are filled with joy and thanksgiving, yeah, I think it becomes contagious in a wonderful way, you know, and so that others are drawn to, why are you, you know, and even especially when they know that you're going through a difficult time. I shared with you about Diane and how this was a Tuesday-Wednesday thing, and Wednesday, Tuesday night into Wednesday, we've got over 2 foot of snow up in Denver, and everything was shut down. The next day, on Thursday, Dan Johnson and Pastor Eric spent over 2.5 hours trying to get to us, and finally made it to us up at the hospital up there. And so we met outside because they were working with Diana at the time, and even they asked me to leave, and I knew they were coming, and so I wanted to be out there to meet them. And so we're in the ER at this time, and you know, we walked in, and I gave them a hug, and I was just so thankful that they were there. And so because they were there, I'm smiling, you know. And plus, we now knew that it wasn't a stroke, it wasn't cancer, and it wasn't other things, but it was something that might be able to be dealt with. You know, there was joy in my heart, yeah? And Dan goes, you've got a good smile. But, you know, and that, it was just the joy of being with brothers in the Lord. We had walked through this alone from Monday on. And so to have brothers in Christ, yeah, it was cool. And it was wonderful. And it was life-giving to me. And why shouldn't it bring You know? The consequences were still out there. The issues were still there. You know, my heart was still breaking for my wife and what she was going through, but yet that's what the body of Christ is all about. Genuine, true thanksgiving for all that God has given us. Notice how this prayer goes on. He goes, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He starts praying for true spiritual discernment, true, sincere spiritual growth for these folks. Now, I want you to know that this particular prayer God used in my own life as I was struggling in my walk with God. I didn't know how to pray for myself. I didn't know how to pray. And finally, somebody came alongside of me and says, well, have you ever thought about praying scripture? What? That was a foreign concept to me in my babyish Christian life. I had no idea what they were talking about. And no, just look for verses of scripture where somebody is praying or something and actually capture that and pray about it. He wants them to have this wonderful spirit of wisdom and knowledge about Christ. I had very little knowledge of Christ. I was biblically illiterate. I did not know this book at all. I'm an adult, and I barely knew or really believed that there was a God, let alone Jesus Christ. And so to start praying that for myself, I heard this one time. Well, that'd be really selfish. Oh, wait a minute. I want you to think about that. Do you think God wants you and I to grow in our prayer life and to have the spiritual growth of a knowledge of him and a real discernment in life? You think God would want us to do that? You can be the little doggy in the window and go like this. Yeah, he does. So why shouldn't you and I pray it for ourselves? And you'd probably say, how do I do that? Well, we're going to do it later on. But he wants to reveal himself to you and I. He wants our hearts to explode. Now, this isn't talking about an emotional experience of any other kind. This is talking about you and I growing in our understanding of who God is. That is what we need to be drawn to. Notice how verse 18 starts out, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That I can understand God's word and God's desire for me, how he wants me to grow. Now, you look around here, and there might be 55 of us or so. The reality is God has called each of us, if we are in Christ, to a relationship with him. And in the wonders of that, he has given us his spirit, which we will see later on in the prayer. And with this thought of true discernment, you and I can know the will of God. And there isn't anything about that that is mystical. Nothing at all. It is just the revelation that God wants you and I to understand him, his holiness, his majesty, the wonder of his love, the unconditional aspects of his love, the reality of forgiveness, the completeness of forgiveness. Now think about that. There is nothing that I have done that God has not completely forgiven me so that my relationship with him is still good. Now it doesn't mean I don't get consequences sometimes from being a fool, from rebellious attitudes or whatever, I still have to reap those consequences. Having been a corrections officer for 3 years and dealing with the worst of the worst, I know what it means to have the burden, can God forgive me? And I want you to know that I walked through the same thing myself, and I was on the other side of the jail door. But these folks, they wonder, how could God ever forgive me because? Well, you know why he can forgive you? Because he's God. Yeah? And that is his heart for you as an individual. Now, isn't that wonderful? Now, you know, each of us probably have the story somewhere along the line, or many of us, of something that maybe has been perpetrated on us in our innocence, youth. I'm talking about abuse. It is so prevalent today. I'm also talking about spousal things, where we have had things done to us and we don't want to forgive, nor do we want them truly to be forgiven. If you think about it, many of us walk in that road. And the question is, if we're going to have complete, true discernment, we have to realize what God has called us to. Understand the depth of the forgiveness that he has given me as an individual, and the fact that he wants me to exercise that to others. I'm not talking about trust. They're two completely different things. Forgiveness is an act of the will. Trust has to be earned. Respect has to be earned. I am not going to go down the line and say, and you automatically have to trust them. That's foolishness. That has to be earned by the visualization of a changed heart and a walk with God within them. When I went to my dad, and I just had to be reconciled to my earthly dad, I just had to be. And how God arranged all of that is a long story, but to be able to go and to look at my dad and say these words, I forgive you. I forgive you for everything. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me because I was a rotten teenager. I had a temper that, boom. And he and I got more tussles than I like to remember. You know, now my dad was just a rough, angry person and so far away from God that I expected him to explode and get mad at me for just saying that. But I had to do it from my side with an honest heart. And you know what my dad does? He looks at me. He goes, what are you trying to say? What? And I'm thinking, oh, sure, Lord. You're going to make me say it again, aren't you? And guess what? Now in tears, and he hated guys to cry. Matter of fact, that was my introduction to my dad. I was removed from my home at 6 months, and I came back at about 5.5 years and never met them up to this point. And the people I'd been living with pull in the driveway, ask me to get out of the car, and they back out the driveway. And I'm looking around, and I go, and I began crying. I'm 5.5, 6 years old. He snatched me up, and he goes, men don't cry. You stop that right now. Now, that was my introduction to my dad. Yeah, that's a tough introduction, if you will. And I'm crying now as an adult in my 20s. And I said, Dad, I want you to know I forgive you. I forgive you of everything. And I need you to forgive me because I was rotten. And I know that. And the only way I can do this is because I have been forgiven by God. I knew God wanted me to. No matter how he accepted it, rejected it, or whatever, God wanted me there. His response and still was going to be his response. Now, what God did with that is amazing because my dad, at the age of 68, came to know Christ. And our kids ended up with a real grandfather. It's amazing what God did in my dad's heart and life. my mom's. That only came from spiritual discernment growing in the revelation of understanding the heart of God for me and the understanding of this word. To where we can have that kind of discernment in life. The third thing that he prays about is that they would have this true hope. This true hope. Alex has already mentioned it in his prayer. Notice what it goes on to say in verse 18. He says, that you may know the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we get right back to that inheritance thing. You and I each have an individual calling of what God wants us to do. The hope of that calling will always first and foremost be transformation. God wants each of us to grow in Christ's likeness. And all God's people said, you know, if not, I would still be a hot-headed, rotten egg. And I don't know if you've ever crushed rotten eggs and know what rotten eggs smell like, but I have. And on people's houses, that bad. But, you know, I tell you, I was a rotten teenager. But, you know, the things that God has forgiven me so that my life can be a sweet aroma to him. That's what God's called us to. I love, you know, one of my favorite passages is Romans chapter 12, and I'm just going to read the first few verses there. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Wow. You know, and that is true hope. I can change. I do not have to walk in bondage to my willful sin life anymore. God can bring victory in my life. And so I can stand as a pastor with guys and gals and others and say, it doesn't matter what you're trapped in today. You can ask for forgiveness from it, and you can walk in victory if you connect with God. I don't care how deep the pornography might be. I don't care how deep the lasciviousness might be. I don't care how big of a liar you are consistently being. I don't care how big of a thief you've ever been and you might still be. It doesn't matter. God will forgive you, and as you draw close to him in an understanding of who he is, you can walk in victory. I can walk in victory, and all God's people said. The question is whether or not we believe it. It took me a while to realize here that God loved me that much, and that here I truly could change, be transformed. And God very graciously met me in the middle of that. Real hope. Remember the parable of the sower? What happens to the seed that is sown on fertile ground? The seed is God's word. What happens? It grows. It multiplies. Listen to these words. But he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word of God and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. That is what he is praying for the folks in Ephesus, that they grow in their understanding of who God is and all of his grace, mercy, his righteous, holy judgment as well, so that they can grow, be released from the bondage of life. And I'm sure there were worshipers of Diana there, especially the men who had worshipped Diana and had said, can God ever forgive me? And I'll just say this, if they were married men, they were unfaithful to their wife time and time and time again to go worship Diana. And Diana was this this carnal, earthly God who was supposed to bring forth fruit, larger crops. That they had fallen into worship of. Can God really forgive me? Yeah, God can. God yearns to. And God should, as their heart is broken before God. Well, how does God do that in our hearts and lives? Notice what it says in verse 19 and following. That you and I know the hope of our calling and our walk with him, being set free, being used, equipped for his glory. And what are the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, that every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, that he has put all things under his feet, Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This reality is the true power. You and I have been gifted. You and I have been indwelled by the Spirit of God if we're in Christ. You and I, therefore, have been enabled to serve God in a way to bring glory to him. Completely, it's totally and completely based upon the authority of Jesus Christ. In John 16, he tells the disciples this truth. He's telling them, you know, I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me where I'm going. But he says, nonetheless, I tell you the truth. It's for advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come, but I will send him. And here's what he says. Now he sends him to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That was my first growth step in him. God's righteousness. The judgment. Christ suffered it for me. I am set free from that. Do I still have some shame? Sure. But I can walk away from that, knowing I've been set free from by God, and the fact that he will take sin, forgive it, and we can walk. Isn't that a good thing? And now my works will be judged, not me. It's the first step of understanding who God is. Then he goes, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. And a lot of the extreme religions today seem to bring glory to the Holy Spirit or themselves, and that's a way you and I can be discerning about how they're responding to spiritual gifts and things like that, which was another step in my growth. How does God do that? It's meant to draw people to Christ. He will glorify me. So in your life, in my life, as you and I are indwelled by the Spirit of God, we are sealed by the Spirit of God, which we saw a couple of weeks ago, and all of God's people said amen. You know, he wants your life and my life to bring glory to him, and we are enabled and empowered to do that through his Spirit. Wow. Later on, we'll be looking at some of the giftedness of God. What a terrible thing. And I know the first few years of my Christian walk, it was like I had zero gifts. I was still shy. I couldn't talk in front of people, didn't want to talk to people. You know, I still battled my inner demons, if you will, of sin life, and because I didn't know how to be set free from them and walk in victory. All of those things. True power, allowing the power of Christ. I invite you to, this afternoon, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and read through verses 2 through 11. It says, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue godliness. Add to your godliness. Those are the steps of the foundation of a life in him, and it ends with, and if you do these things, you will never be barren for the glory of God. And I don't know about you. I don't want to kneel before my Savior with no gifts to glorify him. I want him to be glorified in all I do. All I do. Some of you might know of and heard this story about Hubert Jackson. He is a missionary. He was a missionary in India. When he arrived, he was spelling a missionary, a lifetime missionary who was coming home, and he knew he was going to spell him for a year or two. And when he arrived, Hubert Jackson, the missionary says, here, you can have my car. He goes, something's happened to it this week and won't start. Don't know what it is. I haven't had time to fix it. So you have to be pushed to start it. It was a standard. You have to park on a hill so you can get going. And I don't know how many of you have started vehicles that way. I've done that. And park on a hill so you can get a head start, pop the clutch, and it'll start. The home missionary went home, and so he started, and so he got this plan of he worked near a church. And so he went in and got permission, a school, and he got permission to go into the school and say, hey, every day I leave about 4:30, can I have some kids come out and give me a push? Real power. And so he went and got kids, and they granted that, and everywhere else he went, he always parked on a hill. 1 year goes by, 2 years go by, and guess what? Hubert Jackson's still parking on hills, and he's having kids push him wherever he goes to get his stupid automobile started. Well, the home missionary had more medical issues, and so they sent another short-term missionary, a young guy, to replace Hubert. And so Hubert gets there, and he tells him the car doesn't start for whatever reason, and he starts into a spiel of what he's done for 2 years. Now, this young man pops the hood, and he starts looking underneath, and he starts jiggling things and wiggling things and tighten down a couple of bolts, and he goes, hey, try it now. Even before Hubert Jackson finished his story of how to get it started, he got in, and vroom, it started. The power for you and I is always available. The question is, do we tap into it? Do we have all the cables tight in our relationship with God? I'm going to pray this passage, and I'm going to show you how I pray it for myself. I still pray it for myself today. I want you to bow your heads and kind of just follow my words so that you get an understanding of what praying Scripture means. But pray along with me. Father, I just thank you so much for the body of Christ. I thank you for these folks. And as we gather around communion, Lord, I just yearn that our relationship with you is so full, so wonderful, that we are walking in the power of the Spirit, and that we pray for spiritual growth. Father, I pray that you would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to grow deeper in this book. I want to grow deeper in my understanding of you, your will for me, your desire to walk with me, your love for me, your grace, your mercy. Father, I yearn that I would know the hope of my glory in you and this calling that you brought me to even more wonderfully than all I know today. Lord, I never want to stop growing in you. I don't want to reach plateaus and feel satisfied. I don't want to be the mountaintop experience and back in the valley the next day. I want to grow in you, and I need to know the hope of my calling that you have given me. Oh, Father, thank you for all that you've entrusted, the inheritance, even this body of believers right here. I know they are your sheep, and you've just trusted them to me. I know that's a part of my inheritance. Father, I want it to glorify you, completely glorify you. And Lord, I know that I can only do this through the power of your Spirit who indwells me. Father, forgive me the times I grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit of God in me. Father, I want him to have the freedom to convict me, the freedom to grow me, the freedom to bless me, the freedom to allow me to use these spiritual gifts that you have given to me for your glory and your glory alone. Oh, Father, magnify yourself in our lives. Might my worship be sweet. Might I honor him who is the head of my body. Would you glorify yourself through it all? For it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. We're going to celebrate communion, and I'm going to ask the guys to bring the bread at this time, which represents our Lord and Savior's broken body. And I'm going to ask that you would retain that portion, those portions together, so that we can do this and celebrate communion together. So men, if you'd bring the cracker at this time, please. And Scripture records for us that when he had given out the bread and given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing together. And if you're struggling in your walk, we would love to pray with you.
reach everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out. Let's sing, oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. And endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Sing, oh, praise. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. And endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise.
God, we praise you for the hope that we have in you. We thank you so much, Lord, for all that you've given to us, Lord. And God, I pray for our walks, Lord, that we will not be content with being still, Lord, but that we will pursue you and everything that's been promised to us. Lord, that the hope of your glory, the inheritance of the saints, to be enlightened in the knowledge of you, Lord. God, I just pray more and more, Lord. God, as the day draws near, Lord, when you will return, Lord, I pray that we won't just wait for it, but rather, Lord, we will pursue you until you return, Lord, until it all becomes to completion. So we thank you so much for all that you're doing for us, Lord. Continue to stir our hearts toward you and your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right on. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week.